floats for Kelsey. Intercepted again. The second one of the half. C.J. Mosley drifting back. Intercepts Mahomes.
There he is, week four against Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football.
Interception on Mahomes.
Yes.
You got him.
Picking off Mahomes.
Not bad for my one.
First time you got him? First time you ever got Mahomes of the pick?
It was. In 18. No, you know what? It actually felt good because in 18 when we played him with the Ravens, he made that fourth quarter. He made that crazy throw across the body. So I think it was like cover three or something. I wasn't in my zone. I just saw him drop. I'm like, man, somebody got to be behind me. So I turn. And I see Cheetah. I'm like, oh, right. Lord. So I'm like running. I see the ball floating. Like, oh, I'm about to get this. I just put my arm out, and he catches it. I'm like, oh, my God. Here we go with this.
Well,
but got him back this year.
All right. So we'll start there. I mean, right? Wax pole. Tell us what it's like playing Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you played against him a few times in the career. What is it like? What do you got to think about as a middle linebacker?
Well, before the scramble breaks down, it's just consistent football. You know, you have to do your job. You got to trust your defensive lineman to have a good rush game,
right?
To keep him in the pocket, or just to either they're gonna flush him out and just try to make him hurry up throw. So, outside of that, you know, it's about executing. You know, not causing silly penalties. You know, not giving them a great field position. You know, special teams doing it, everybody doing their job. Now let's get to the part where he started making plays,
right.
The Mahomes magic that everybody talk about.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of it looks like backyard football, but. You know, this offense has been together a long time, coaches included. So, you know, you think about Kelsey, look at the routes that he runs. A lot of tight ends not running those routes because they're not real routes.
Right.
You know, they're breaking off once he gets to a certain spot in the pocket or once he scrambles, like they know exactly where to go. So, you know, a lot of those great plays that he makes and, you know, the receivers and tight ends help him make, you know, they're all talking to each other and they have a system. So, you know, when you get teams that been together like that and have that camaraderie and, you know, like know what to do when adversity hits and things happen right now, like they know exactly what to do.
Right.
One of the things that impressed me this year, CJ, about the Jets defense, despite whatever was going on with the offense, whatever the score was, whatever the circumstances were, you guys were always bringing it. There was never a sense of resignation or it's not our day or, you know, we're never going to be able to score enough points to overcome.
Right.
You guys went out there every drive, it seemed like, every snap, and you were doing everything you could to keep that other team from gaining an inch, mm-hmm. much less gaining a first down.
Yeah, you know, we just take tremendous pride every time we step out on the field. Our defense has definitely gotten really close, especially since 21. Obviously, that's when the Coach Sala's version of
the
defense
was
really together. So,
right.
You know, you think about MC, you think about you know, our defensive line, you think about Quinton, you know, think about all the guys that was there in 21.
Right.
You couldn't tell me then, but no, we was the worst defense in 21, you know, statistically. And, you know, it was hard for somebody to convince me that way because I knew, like, how hard we worked every single week. Think about Coach Brick, think about my linebacker coach, Coach Rudy, like, all the hard work they put in and building that foundation. And fast forward to now, we look like a whole different defense, and that's because we have to learn from those mistakes. We have to go through that tough year.
Right.
The couple games we had this year where we got embarrassed on the field and it felt like it was like the offense was just trying to prove a point. Like those things, that's why I play defense. Like, cause like, no, you can't do that to our team. You can't do that to my brother. So, you know, anytime we step out on the field, that's our motivation and mindset.
How do you often Mike, like what Mike's saying? Like, I mean, how do you stay positive on defense sometimes with the way your offense was playing, right? When it's like, hey, three plays, we're back out, right?
Yeah.
That's where we were impressed, is that it just was like, holy cow, they're going to break eventually. I mean, how do you keep your guys positive? How do you not look at the offense and go, hey, dudes, like, what the hell? Can you do something?
I think it's human nature. You know, sometimes it's like we can control what we can control, and the other time it gets to you. You get frustrated. And for me, I can only speak for myself. Personally, I don't play my best when I'm frustrated, especially when I'm, like, worried about the clock and looking at the score and focused on, like, what the offense is doing. It just takes me out of my game.
Right.
And the only reason I know that because my dad told me that this past year. He said for the first time, like, he saw me looking at the clock, at the scoreboard. I was like, wow, like, I really was. And so once I took that part of the game out of it and just focused on our job on defense, and that's – getting off the field.
You say that to the guys too?
Yeah.
Are you trying
to say that same thing? We had a meeting, like, as a defense. We had to tell ourselves, like, we gotta just control what we control, because
right.
we're trying to. You want to make that extra play when things are going tough. You want to be the guy to go make that tackle. But now you're just putting yourself out of position. Now when you're out of position, that leads to one guy being open, and now the next guy got
yeah,
it. So
right.
it's just a
and
trickle down effect. So
yeah, right.
Like I said, it's human nature to want to, like, do more, especially when you're losing. But no, we have to trust each other. We have to do our job, and, you know, the teams that does that, you know, play disciplined football, stay consistent, those are teams usually come out on top.
Right.
Your boss, your big boss, all the way up to the top, Woody Johnson, he made some comments last night. He wants the coach, Robert Saleh, to focus more on offense this year. Focus on the offense. What's your reaction when you hear that?
I don't have a major reaction. Like, I don't get paid to discuss those things. But, you know, it's my job to believe and trust in, you know, our coaches and everybody, you know, the level up. So I'm going to let them handle that, and I got to play my part as a, you know, as a player on the team and as a leader. So whoever's on our team in that building, when it's time to get to work, that's what it's going to be.
Wow, look at that. That's a vet right there.
Yeah, that's right. That's
he
right.
knows the owner.
Ready
he knows
to play for Belichick somewhere.
He's like, damn, I know exactly what to say.
Yeah.
Well done. Well
appreciate
done.
It. Appreciate it.
All right, so, I mean, I want to hear your pitch in a minute, because I know you're here on behalf of Seat Club. But first, I want to hear you give me a lean for the game. What are you thinking here? Where are you going? Most people we've had here, yeah. we're like, it's 100-2 Chiefs over Niners so far.
My thing is, you know, you got one team. Well, the narrative. You got
right.
one team that's looking for revenge. You got another team that's trying to solidify their dynasty.
Right.
So, right now, I'm thinking dynasty over revenge.
Okay.
So I'm going Chiefs. Don't know the score.
Yeah.
Because I feel like for this game especially, like, I feel it's gonna be some crazy stuff.
It could
that's
be
happen.
20-17 or 38-35.
Yeah, so
I feel
knows,
like this game. I don't
know.
Both
defenses are very tough.
Right.
Special teams gonna play a part.
Right.
And definitely, you know, field position when it comes down, like, to the turnover. So it's gonna be a fun game to watch for sure.
Yeah. Cool.
How much time do you spend thinking about what this year would have been for the Jets, but for what happened week one, four snaps in, no Aaron Rodgers, and just everything gets turned upside down. All the plans get scrapped before you can even get started.
Not as much as you would think, because, you know, once you go down that path, it's just like it's all just imaginative. So, you know, I just try to stay in the present. And like I was saying, just things that you can only control, just worry about that. Like, obviously, we all wish you would have played. And nobody knows how this year would have looked whether you played or not. So we do have a great opportunity to run it back next year. So let's do everything we can and plug in the right pieces and look at the right side of the ball if necessary to do so.
What do you think of Aaron Rodgers based on what you saw of him practice field preseason?
I would say this. The way he came out to work before his injury, and to see him come out and work in December post-injury, nothing changed at all. Like, the way he demanded greatness from his one offense to the scout offense was the same. The way he, you know, went through his steps were the same. Obviously, the arm talent, nothing changed there. He was throwing the ball great late December. So, and just having him around, you know, just the experience that he's had, the things he can talk about, the things he's seen, like, you can't knock that.
Were you shocked by the stardom of Aaron Rodgers? Like, were you shocked a little bit, like, about, like, holy crap? I mean, it's just like he joined the team, and every media member in the world wants to be there and interview.
That first day was crazy. The whole building was, like, going crazy that first day. But
it was.
I knew he was famous,
right.
but he's like A-list. He's
it's like
A-list
another
famous
level
now.
Famous,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
I know. It is.
His conversation
is different than your normal
football player,
superstar.
Just hanging out with Michael Jordan one. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's different.
Yeah, it is different, no doubt. All right, middle linebacker, let's hear it, Mr. C Club.
Mr. C Club.
Okay.
So C Club is a subscription-based company. So you think about Ticketmaster, you think about StubHub.
Right.
You know, you're in Las Vegas,
yeah.
you don't have a ticket, you want to buy a ticket for the game. So it's already going to be expensive. So now once you get to the end of it, you have all these markup fees, you know, all these fees
yeah.
coming up out of nowhere.
Right.
So with C Club, no, it's a subscription base. It's a one-time subscription. It's $99 a year.
Right.
But they're doing a promo under my name, CJ.
Right.
And it's 57% off now. So that's 1 year, 57% off of $99. And once you subscribe, no matter where you are, no matter what the venue is, it could be a game, it can be a show, anything like that, and you just pay them the flat price.
And you got C-Club.
All the way they get paid is from the subscription, so nothing else. So
damn.
Straight. So the thing I like about it most, for, you know, as a player, when I go to away games, my family wants to go.
Right.
But, you know, they're not getting the good seats.
The road team seats are in the nosebleeds.
You know, we have to go to Ticketmaster and, you know, buy those special tickets. So this is something that, you know, we can use and buy a big a bulk of tickets and not have to worry
not
about
to
the
pay
crazy
$9
price.
Million dollars for it.
So you're saving, saving up to 30-35% from it.
Man, that's
pretty
good
deal.
Way to go,
I got to check that out.
That is. That's pretty cool.
That's something I'm definitely going to check out, Seat Club.
I like it.
One more thing.
We
talked to Sauce yesterday about the all gas, no brakes slogan. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, the brakes are there for a reason. Shouldn't it be all gas and maybe tap the brakes once in a while?
At some point, you got to hit the brake. The brake is on. For us, the brake is on right now.
Yeah.
So it may not be on for the coaches and the staff. But, yeah, but, I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's just telling you that, you know, when you step on the field, like, we're not letting anything go. Like, once we on the field and cross the white line, you know, we're going to work and we got something to prove.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
awesome.
Excellent, CJ. It's great seeing you.
Thank
you for some of your time.
All
the best moving forward. CJ Mosley, when we return. Is he in the building? Is it Kirk Cousins' time?
It's
it might be
close.
Kirk Cousins' time.
You know, he's
all
a
right.
Vikings fan.
Thanks, CJ.
Standard.
More PFT Live right after this.
Yep. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah.
Appreciate
Thank you, buddy.
It.
That's great.
There it
There's
is.
There's the sphere down there.
Damn.
I was inside that thing the other night. Good Lord, what an experience that was.
I think I'm going there tonight.
You're going tonight to see you too?
I don't know. Wait, I'm seeing Adele tonight.
No, not at Sphere.
It's not
She's
the
not
Sphere.
Not Sphere.
That's what I told my family that, and they were like,
hey,
no, it's not the
if
Sphere.
If you're going to see, no, it's not. If you're going to see Adele, can't hide money. We looked into the tickets. Can't hide money if you're going to see Adele.
I know. Yeah, actually, I know a little. This is something my dad got it done for us, right? And just a little, since we're on the subject, right? This is where the Super Bowl is crazy. So he was telling me about the seats, right? Because he got us the seats, and I was like, damn, Dad, you know, let me help you out. I would have helped us get better tickets or whatever. He's like, Christopher, the prices are insane. And then it has this thing where, like, if you buy one ticket, it's $500, right? But if you want a ticket next to it, right, where you want, like, oh, I want to sit next to my wife, now your ticket goes up to, like, $1,000 along with the other ticket being $1,000. So we have family, you know, my kids are coming.
You're all sitting in different
we're
spots?
We're spread out. We're like spread out because it was going to cost like $50,000 for us to sit next to each other.
That is great.
So that's a little inside look at what's going on here in Vegas.
That's
right
amazing.
Now.
Yeah,
me and my wife are together, Aunt Wendy and the kids are together, and my mom and dad are together.
Yeah, we looked into that one, and when Jill told me the price, it said, well, I like her. But I don't like it that much. I don't like it that much.
I'm excited to see it, though.
But anyway, we will be joined any second now
because
the wings are here.
The wings are here.
We got the sauces are here.
He's committed now.
It's too late. They've already put the props here. He can't not show up. He can't walk up and see me and say, oh, no, not that asshole. He's got to show up. So we do have confirmation in the building, in the vicinity. 30 seconds away, but he hasn't seen me yet. I'm just going to stay turned.
Well,
I just met your brother, too.
You met my brother.
Your brother looks just like your dad.
Yeah.
More like your dad than you do.
Agreed.
Although there was a moment yesterday where you were talking, it's like, damn, he really looks like Phil right now.
Right.
But Matt is Phil.
Matt is Phil.
Wow.
I think that's the kind of the general thought of the family. I'm a little bit more like my mom when people meet my mom. Right, Matt is definitely like looks just like Big Phil,
but he's got the same mannerisms you do. He was doing something before that you do.
Yeah, right.
Like it's the same. You can tell you guys have spent
crazy,
a lot of time
crazy
together.
Sims crap. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
That's
he was cursing too. Not like you usually do.
You're
but it was enough. He told us to.
He's coming.
Here, they come. Here he is.
Coming.
There it is. He got the Letterman jacket, the Michigan State Keller on the way.
I love it. Him and KJ Osborne, who's like
here.
Really one of the most underrated receivers in football. That's going to be great to talk to him. So
my
everybody
heart,
get
my
out
heart
there.
Is if, all a flutter.
If you're a Lions fan or you're a Bears fan, get out your, you know, garbage ready puke for
Vikings. I don't
know.
They may be trying to recruit him.
The
Vikings, for that part.
Yeah, because you're going to gush just
if
constantly.
He's a Viking next year. I don't know.
Here he comes.
Up the stairs with KJ Osborne, Vikings receiver and Vikings quarterback. And walking. He's walking very well.
Man,
he's looking
up?
Good. He's looking healed.
Good
hey, Kirk, how are you, man? Good to see you.
Nice to meet you.
KJ, what's up, buddy? Good to see you. All right.
I know.
This
right?
is awesome.
Right?
All right. Here we go.
Hey, we're doing a show.
You're moving
here,
well.
Right?
You're looking good.
We got wings. We got bounty.
You look better in purple
than
green. We got
bounty letter jackets.
Let me just tell you, you look better in purple than green. Wow. I just want to get that out of the way.
I like that.
Green is good, but purple is better.
I want to get something out of the way.
Yeah, let's go, Chris. Okay. Let's go.
I mean, right. Do you know what's happened in the world?
He's changed his tune.
What? Yes. Like, the world's
He's
changing.
He's changed his tune. What
right?
is going
People
on?
People can love. Like, well, we can change. He likes you. He wants.
I recognize
I
greatness.
Don't know what's
I witness greatness.
He wants them to open up the Brinks truck for you and just give you whatever
I'm ready
you want.
To chip in. I'm ready to write a check, baby. I got money.
KJ, you don't understand. This
I want
was
KJ
like,
to stay, too.
Yeah, no
this
doubt.
This was like, we, I love him. One week it'd be like, Kurt's the greatest thing we've ever seen. He's amazing. The next week he'd be like, you know, I think we should get a new quarterback in Minnesota.
I never said that.
Now he's all in on him.
Maybe I did.
But thank you for being here, guys.
The night I got, listen, I travel home from New York every Monday, week 7. I get home. And it's like, oh, the Vikings are playing in 40s tonight. Oh, God, this is going to be awful. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. My son was all excited because my son, all in, Vikings all the time. And he's like, come on, it'll be fun. Let's, you know, we'll get, so we get some food and we start watching it. And it's like, oh, my God. I mean, that was the best game of your career,
yeah,
I think.
A lot of fun.
It was incredible. And it was, I think, the culmination of working with Kevin O'Connell. He told us this last February, the same voice in your ear all the time. It gets to a point where it just all merges together. And I think that was the explosion of it that night. It really was incredible. Yeah. And it was a damn shame. I mean, my heart just sunk all the way down to my intestines when you had the injury 6 days later.
Because
I thought you were right at
the
pinnacle.
Yeah, we were an ascending football team. And even KJ that game, I felt like, you know, with Justin out, KJ was taking on a bigger
big catches,
role. And it just felt like we're finding something here. We're an ascending team. And then obviously I didn't get to be a part of it after that. And that's the way the NFL works. You guys live it. You never know what the next weekend's going to bring, which is why there's so much excitement Sunday to Sunday and so much excitement for this Sunday because you just don't know what's coming.
Yeah, right. No doubt about it.
Like, so, KJ, what do we got to do? Yeah. What do we got to do to work this out so we keep both of you
He's
guys in
you
Minnesota?
GM, KJ.
What can we do?
He's making you the GM.
That's above me, man. That's above me. Like I said, I did my work, so that's on them.
Right. Yeah, that is kind of our attitude is we do have a lot of work to do between September and February. And then when it gets to February and March, now we kind of are passive, and it's like, all right, we hired an agent. The team has their role. Let's just see what happens. And we kind of become like everybody else.
Yeah, just kind of sit back and be bystanders, right?
Yeah, because our work's done.
But, like, you got to think a little bit, like, we got something going here.
No doubt.
Like, we don't want to break this up, right?
No doubt. I think, like I said, we're an ascending football team. And a locker room that you like being around, players you like playing with.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of teams would say that probably because you build relationships and you love the people you know. But the reality of the NFL is you just don't know.
Yeah,
you don't know what happens.
Right. Well, what's crazy, and like KJ, I'd like to get your thought on this too, is just a little bit of like we kind of said during the year, I think you were like 2-4 at one point. We were like, I don't know. It feels crazy.
He
it feels
said,
like you guys are actually
better than last year.
As a complete team.
Yeah.
Right? But you just were – you had the, like the fumble disease there early in the game.
Yeah, that's –
But did you guys kind of feel that way too?
Yeah, for sure, man. It was just self-inflicted. I mean, it was in that season prior, a lot of the things that we were doing well, we weren't turning the ball over.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we were having those one-score games, you know, that winning that turnover battle was huge. And KO would show us a stat every week, every week. You know, I think we were undefeated when we didn't just turn the ball over. We just walked in the stadium, you know, 0-0 in the turnover battle.
Right.
You know, we just kind of had those self-inflicted. And then, you know, we kind of started to clean that stuff up. You know, we kind of started trending the right direction. Like I said, we just kind of had some unfortunate injuries. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, that was super important. But, you know, I definitely think we started to trend the right direction. And we got a good core that we like.
Yeah, yeah.
Justin Jefferson was here earlier this week, too. I think it's important for them to find a way, right?
Yep.
It's hard for it to be an ascending team without the two of you and without Justin Jefferson.
I think the beauty of these are good problems to have. When you draft well and when you have a stable that's full, you're always going to have the conversation of how do we divvy up the cap, who do we keep. You'd much rather be having those conversations than saying, okay, who do we draft, who do we go find, because we don't have a stable that has players in it. So you're either going to live in one world or the other. I'd much rather live in the world of how do we keep people.
Yeah, right.
You have been quietly kind of creeping up the ranks to the most experienced and oldest quarterbacks in the NFL. You're going to be 36
this year.
No, that's not old. I'll take 36. Shit. But pardon me. But do you have a timeline on how many more years you want to do it?
I do think that a few more for sure. I think Tom Brady changed the conversation around. He did a lot of quarterbacks a service by playing as well as he did at 45.
Right.
Drew Brees much the same way with a surgically repaired shoulder playing as long as he did after that. I just think it changed the conversation. And the game as a quarterback is so much up here. Certainly the physical matters. but this has to come with it. And as you play longer, this gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And so if you have this, you're a much better quarterback at 36 right. than at 26 right. because of this. So I think it bodes well for me to be able to play it quite a while longer. I never want to take years for granted or assume things, so I do always kind of take a year-to-year mindset, but I see myself playing several more.
KJ, what's the biggest thing you've learned from being around a guy like Justin Jefferson?
Oh, man. That's a great question. I don't know why I thought you were about to say Kirk. I was preparing my mind for that. I mean, JJ, man, I mean, he's a self. He's a self, you know, ever since coming to the league. You know, he's been a constant pro. You know, he works hard, you know, every single day when he's out there. And no matter the circumstances, when he comes in the building, you know, he wants to play. You know, I'm very close to JJ, and JJ loves the game. JJ loves the game of football. A lot of people, it was injury there, you know, with his contract and stuff. Is he going to come back? Is he going to come back and play? Is he going to sit out? I'm talking to him. JJ wants to get back on the field. JJ right. wants to play.
Right.
Even with the contract stuff that was going on, he just wants to get out there. And I think, you know, his love for the game, you know, that makes him, you know, who he is, you know, because he's a competitor. You know, he wants to compete. He wants to get better. You know, even after having these, you know, Pro Bowl years and, you know, all pro and things like that, he still try to find ways to get better. So if one of the best receivers in our game can do it, you know, I can do it as well.
I'm excited to hear your Bounty Quicker Picker Upper, right? I mean, that's a jingle of mine growing up for sure. But I do want to, like, get into your head coach, right? I want to get into, like, some football here. I mean, you've been around great OCs.
Yeah.
You've been around Shanahan. We're going to get to that in a minute. But, like, what's your Kevin O'Connell? What makes him tick? What's the magic, you know, about how he gets you guys open and so efficient on the offensive side of football?
Yeah, I've always said Kevin's a great football mind.
Right.
And if you want to get into deep waters talking football, he can go as deep as you want to go.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you get with a coach and you're like, okay, I kind of pushed it to the ceiling.
Right.
This is as far as we can go, and then we just have to plug the system. We're not going to keep creating after that. If you want to keep creating and have iterations and go deeper, Kevin will go every step you want to go.
Really?
Because of the way his football mind works. You know, when we beat the Niners that night, I look back on that game in an interesting way that we did it with 45 pass attempts.
Right.
You know, which you think to beat the Niners, we need to
be balanced a little.
25 pass attempts, right. pound the rock, you know, control the clock. We did it dropping back and throwing. And I thought, boy, that's an interesting way to go about beating the Niners.
I was shocked.
But it said a lot about right. Kevin's approach and strategy and how he was going to do it. And he's definitely gives me a lot of at-bats, if you will. He's going to give me a lot of at-bats to be productive.
He seems like Kyle in a lot of ways where he understands the rules of the defense and really knows how to attack it.
I think that's a good way of saying it. Like, he does. He always talks
defense. You guys
are
defense. Like run dagger, right? But then all of a sudden the 49ers, you like ran two guys at the safety and somebody came underneath it.
That was
I was like, that's dagger.
Yep. Right. I think he created it. Kevin may have created it that week.
Yeah, he did.
Kevin
did.
Created it that week, yep. And then it goes to Kevin installed it. Now, KJ, you and I got to get on the same page because this is new.
It's new.
Make sure you take this angle, not that angle. You know, we're only watching it off of one clip. We need to understand we could get other looks, and so those are all the conversations you have with KJ, with the coaches. But
so that was new,
Kevin can look at the film and say, hey, what if we did this? That's where you go away from the game and you go, that's coaching, that's strategy, that's X's and O's, that's creativity, that's thinking outside the box. And then it allows for a, you know, 20-25 yard completion to KJ in the game.
And
KJ, 4 years together now with Kirk, are you guys at the point where, like, you don't even have to communicate? You know, you can almost read each other's minds and finish each other's sentences?
Yeah, for sure, man. I think especially in those two-minute drives. You know, I know where he's coming. I know he wants to get the ball out of his hands, you know. And, you know, he's just surgical. I mean, one of the things that I say, you know, when Kirk was playing, it's something different that I had seen in the other 4 years. I mean, I can just tell when he was hot. And it was so funny because he would call us all in the huddle, and he'd be saying the play so fast because he wanted to just get up to the line of scrimmage and keep playing. So, like, we loved it. So, like, we were coming back to the huddle fast. And like, you know, when you have a guy like that, you know, playing that well, you know, it was great, you know. So it's been a great 4 years, and the relationship just continues.
And I think that's the hard part about free agency.
Yeah,
because it is what you said, Mike. Yeah. It is a 4 years starting to finish their sentences. It took time to get there. Mm-hmm. We have that. Oh, now we're both free agents. It's like, So, you know, that's where that putting that puzzle piece together is always an interesting challenge and conversation.
Well, I'm going to do my best to force the pieces together from afar. They may not listen to me. Maybe I'll need to say
a platform.
Maybe I'll say do the opposite, and they'll do other than what I'm saying. But regardless, tell us what you got going on with
you got
Bounty. The Bounty
the
Brothers
let's see
here.
If you got a connection right
course,
here, you
man.
Two.
Wingman, man.
Yeah, so you can't have football without wings, and you really can't eat wings
without Bounty.
So Bounty gave us these awesome Letterman jackets.
Nice.
And they got Wingman on the back. Because we're each other's wingman.
Yeah,
wingman.
I like
on the
it.
Field and off. And And so, obviously, you know, Super Bowl on Sunday, a lot of Super Bowl parties.
A lot of messes.
Don't go with the old school napkin.
Oh,
napkins are not strong enough for this. The great parties have Bounty. The great parties use the quilted quicker picker upper, as you said.
Exactly.
So that's why we're here, to promote the right paper towel usage for the big game.
It's awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, I grew up with Bounty. I mean, nothing soaks up like a spilled Coke better than Bounty, right? Which is definitely going to happen at everybody's Super Bowl party. All right, you two knuckleheads. You both played the Chiefs and the 49ers. You're one of the few people that could say both there. Give us a lean. Let us hear. What do you think? Let me hear it. Go ahead.
The Chiefs' defense is a different defense. We played their defense in 2019 when they won it all.
Right.
And I came out of the game going, yeah, they do some good things, but you can get after them. You know, Chris Jones is Chris Jones, but you can get after him. This year, we finished the game, I thought, that's different. And to Spagnuolo's credit, they're not the same defense as 19. It's a different scheme, different approach. He's evolved as well.
Yep.
So. That was impressive, and they've shown it in the playoffs. Yeah. And so if they win, I do think it's the defense maybe carrying a bigger part of it than it was in 19 or in other years. They've had great success. And then my heart is kind of with the Niners just because of Kyle and my years with him and knowing that he is such a good coach and he deserves a ring. And so I'll be pulling for the Niners a little bit. But I have so much respect for both coaches, both organizations. You know, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Chiefs. I'm thinking Chiefs. I mean, they faced a lot of adversity all year long.
Right.
A lot of people didn't know if they would get back to this position just because they weren't, you know, winning with dominance as, you know, you had kind of seen it in the past.
Yeah, right.
But just as any other, you know, big game, I think it'll come down to, you know, a 3-point, 10-point game, and, you know, it'll either be Mahomes having to work his magic or, you know, Purdy and, you know, his crew, you know, doing it as well. So I think it'll be a really good game, but somehow we always, you know, see Mahomes end up pulling it off.
15's going to pull it off.
We haven't had a Super Bowl blowout in a while.
No,
have we?
It's been a while.
And
we were just talking about this.
You watch the game, even in warm-ups, you just feel the tension around
every
flag, every call, every throw, every decision. You know it's going to come back.
It's monumental.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Did that impact the final result?
Chiefs-Bucks was lopsided, but it didn't feel that way. It didn't feel that way, though. It felt like Patrick Mahomes was going to do everything he could.
And that was one where you felt the Bucks pass rush was able to impact the game in a way that you didn't expect, and probably because their tackles were out. But you wonder, again, can the Niners pass rush do that on Sunday?
Yeah, right.
You guys are great Bounty teammates.
Great
Bounty teammates. We want you to be teammates again.
Right.
Just not with a different team,
purple
please.
Purple.
Don't go somewhere else as a package deal. Stay put. I'm going to work on it. Ziggy.
Oh.
I'm
going to
call you Ziggy. We'll have Emmett Smith next. He was on fire about the Cowboys. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Man, Kirk Cousins and KJ Osborne.
It is a Super Bowl week tradition. One of the greatest running backs of all time, the all-time NFL leading rusher, and he usually brings tequila.
Oh, he's bringing the tequila.
He's got the tequila with him today, the great Emmett Smith. Emmett, welcome back, buddy.
Thank you, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing great, man.
Excellent.
Always. Always. Always good to have you here. I mean, we try to make you a yearly thing. Like, it's like one of our things. It's not a Super Bowl unless we talk to Emmett.
Well, damn it. Cool.
Good,
I'm glad
you're down with that.
Yes, I'm down for that.
I mean, when I grew up, you were in the Super Bowl anyway, so we might as well keep the damn thing going.
And it's going to be a long time for my Cowboys to get here, so why not keep talking about it? So, I mean,
I don't know. They say it's going to be next year. Jerry's going all in. He's going all in.
What does all in look like?
I don't know.
You got to understand what all in looks like. It means something different to everybody.
You're funny. You are funny. All right. You know, one thing we've asked you so many questions over the year. I don't know if I've ever asked you this one. Is what was the difference in feeling Super Bowl I compared to Super Bowl II you played in?
There was no feeling in Super Bowl III.
Right, okay. No feeling in Super Bowl III?
No like, tingling, no nothing.
Like just a game. Here we go.
I was so mad. I was disappointed.
Right.
I was like, what happened?
The Steelers Super Bowl, Super Bowl
III. Yeah, what happened?
Right.
I'm like, where are the butterflies?
Right.
I don't feel nothing. Am I not ready to play or what? I start questioning.
Right.
Because Super Bowl I and II, I was really hyped.
Rose Bowl.
Yes.
Right. First
because
one for you
guys.
Because the
very first one.
Right.
The second one was moderately hyped.
Right.
But that third one, I'm like, pinch me.
Yeah.
I mean, am I sleeping? I mean, am I not sensing what I'm supposed to sense? Something is wrong? It wasn't nothing wrong.
Right.
It was all about the experiences of being in a big moment at the big the right time.
Okay, so I'm glad you're going down this because in that game too, you guys showed that experience. You jumped out on them. They were nervous and all.
Yeah,
you're throwing bombs at Deion and you're running down the middle of the field,
right? Yeah.
So do you feel like that's an advantage for Kansas City in these kind of things?
I think it can be an advantage to Kansas City, but it also can be a disadvantage.
Yeah.
The advantage part of it is, okay, they know it's a football game.
Right.
And they know that the other opposing team is going to come with a lot of energy and everything else. The question is, how do they withstand that first onslaught and that first level of energy, and how long would that energy sustain itself for the Niners?
Right.
Now, on the other side, and this is what Kyle Shanahan experienced when he was in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
When the Falcons end up losing to
the Patriots, right,
28-3. They ran out of gas. They just ran out of gas. It wasn't the fact that they were not playing hard. It's just they couldn't not sustain that energy level for a period of time. And Brady was like, I knew this was going to happen at some point. Now I'm going to get you behind.
I'm just going to pick you apart. Yeah, I'm going to pick you apart.
Everybody tired. Right. Everybody can't move the same.
Right.
And that's what you're looking at right now when you're talking about experience versus inexperience.
Right, right.
The Cowboys today. Specifically. Well,
are they here?
Well, no.
Oh. Well, one of them is. There goes Michael.
Is that Irv?
Michael Irvin.
That's
there he is.
Michael Irvin. The playmaker.
There's the playmaker.
There he is.
Come say hi.
Come on, Michael.
Michael's got to go. All right. Michael, come by later. Mike McCarthy's still the head coach. How surprised were you that Jerry decided to keep him after that playoff loss to the Packers?
I was completely surprised. I know how disappointed I was as a player to see that product put on the football field.
Yeah.
It has not become another Dallas Cowboys mystique, respect, the brand.
Right.
It is not it's not the appropriate representation of the brand itself. Now, Jerry understands these kind of words.
Yeah.
The brand.
Right.
The star.
Right.
Everything has to be pristine.
Right.
But this was not. Yeah. That right there was so disappointing. Not only to me, but to many of our fans, and including people that was sitting like, what is that?
Yeah.
It did not look good and wasn't a good look.
Do you ever wonder, because I know Jerry says all the time, I want me some glory hole. You know that line. Yeah. I want me some glory hole. I want to win Super Bowls. He did say that. That's not me. That's him.
He was
said
looking
that.
At you weird.
He's looking at me like, what? Do you know what
did
you're
he
saying?
Really say that?
Jerry said that once.
Okay.
And he said it twice.
He said it again.
He said it about the Rangers after they won the World Series. It is the absolute glory hole to win a national championship. That's Jerry. You know Jerry better than we do.
Your owner.
Yeah. That's my owner.
But I feel like Emmett at some level that he's saying what he has to say to get people to keep showing up, to keep the Cowboys on TV, like, because you're not putting the actions to the words.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
That therefore, you lose credibility. And if you're losing credibility, you're losing respect. You lose respect, you have no honor.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, I agree to some level. Things have to change. And I thought the reason why I was so convinced that he was going to get fired.
Yeah, right.
Because last year there was a whole lot of talk about, this might be it.
Right.
If he doesn't perform this year, okay.
Right.
You're going to accept 12 wins and a playoff berth, but you're going to accept the way we got kicked out of the playoff?
Yeah, like dominated.
Dominated. I mean, it's like we went out there and played with our hands tied behind our backs.
Yeah.
Or we left our minds up in Frisco and didn't even take it over to AT&T in Arlington.
Yeah.
It was such a disappointing thing. It was just bad. It's bad all the way around. I even hate talking about it because I feel responsible.
Well, I feel you. I can feel you're emotionally invested.
I feel responsible. I feel like I could have helped, and I don't know how.
Yeah.
But, it was bad.
Was there a coach you thought maybe was on the radar or was going to happen where you were like, oh, I think Jerry might do this?
Initially, I thought it was going to be Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Initially, I thought it would have been Sean Payton.
Right.
But at this point, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I really don't know. Outside of going and stealing Dan Campbell
from the
Detroit Lions, because I think his message is the right message that a lot of people are missing.
Right.
And a lot of kids are missing.
What message specifically?
I mean, think about what he's doing and what he's saying, how he's saying it. Now, he's making some mistakes, too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
when to go for it and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Going
gotcha.
Forward when you come on, coach.
Yeah, yeah. Go up 17 in the NFC Championship game.
Exactly.
Right, right.
He's making some mistakes.
Right, but it's other stuff.
It's other stuff that he's – it's the other things that – I can deal with some things because I know the message is the right message.
Yeah.
He's going to learn from what he just went through.
Right.
It's not that often that he's been a head coach. So he's going to learn from what he went through.
Yeah.
That part I can almost guarantee you because that's the kind of mentality he had.
But the mentality is just this what we see all the time. Grit, just go out there, fight hard, dig deep, come together. Just
nobody wants to fight hard no more.
But it works.
No one wants to fight hard anymore. They want to, we are the Cowboys.
Tell me how good I am.
Check out my Instagram post.
Right.
See me on my podcast. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm everything.
Right.
Without doing anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and everybody's patting him on the back without doing anything.
Right.
People want to give him so much without doing nothing.
Right.
And what they're living off of is what happened in the past.
Right.
Not what's going down right now. They're not establishing their own legacy, let alone building off of the legacy that was established. When I got to the Cowboys, I knew one thing.
Yeah.
I knew I could not disappoint Tony Dorsett as a running back. And I knew I could not disappoint Robert Newhouse as a running back or Calvin Hill. Or let alone Bullet Bob Hayes.
Right.
Then I knew I could not disappoint Captain Comeback, Roger Staubach.
Right.
Ed Tuttle Jones. I embraced the history of who we were because I loved them as a Cowboy when I was a kid myself. So when I got there, it's like, shoot, we ain't going to be 1-15.
Right.
My mom was already on that. And I knew Michael Mine was on it.
Yeah.
Jimmy Mine had to be on it.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying, too. Like, the coach has got to be a part of that, right? And not putting up with nonsense.
Don't
is that
put
where you're
up
going?
No BS.
Right.
And at the end of the day, when you see a legendary defensive end like Charles Haley, who's a Hall of Famer, working with Leon Lett, Tony Tolbert, Tony Casillas, and Chad Hennings, Jimmy Jones, and other players, working with them, teaching them swim things. He's working with them to make them better so he become better. He's not worrying about competing against them. But when you see that, you see greatness. And that's why that team was so good defensively. Then when you see Deion come in, he could have came in Deion Neal.
Right.
But he didn't. He came in playing ping pong with everybody. Whoever wanted to play ping pong, he played
bring
with.
Bring it. Right.
Bring it on. Yeah, it was competition. Dominoes was being played between James Washington and myself, defensive players, offensive players, and they getting to know each other.
Yeah.
Things that brought us together are things that I think is missing within the locker room.
Yeah,
today.
I hear you. Everybody's got their own life. I got to go here.
Yeah,
I got this party.
I got this party.
I got
this,
Instagram people over here. I hear you, man. It's old school is dying.
It's a joke.
I like Man, I like this. Do you need
and
more
that
tequila?
That bottle isn't even open yet.
Sure?
No.
That cup?
It's empty. It's empty.
He's waiting for us to crack the seal.
You're on fire today. You are on fire. I'm feeling like it's the second Super Bowl. You're just carrying the squad right now.
Hey.
Isn't it amazing that
fourth quarter?
We've talked about this so many times.
Yeah, I know.
I want to be in the position to where I have to make the play.
The last time you guys won the Super Bowl is the last time they even played in the game to get to the Super Bowl. I never would have dreamed that the Cowboys would go 28, now 29 years without playing in an NFC championship. I can't believe that.
I wouldn't have dreamed it neither. And like I told somebody earlier, I'm tired of being sold on what the Cowboys could be. I'm tired.
You've had enough of it.
I had enough of it.
Yeah.
Because I'm more about what the Cowboys really are and who we really are and who we were. That's where I'm at.
Right.
And that's where everyone else is at. You was this. How do you allow this to happen?
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, hey, I know the prism which I look at the team through and the eyes, I go all the way back to Staubach. I go all the way back to those days with Leroy Jordan. I go all the way back to those days. And then I come up to where we were at, and I'm like, okay, we honored them. We respected them.
Right.
We respected the history of the game. We love the game. I respect the history of the game like no other, whether it's Jim Brown, Walter Payton, Dorsett, Gary Sayers, you name them, all the way up to where – Barry Sanders and I are sitting side to side, you know, and Thurman Thomas is in the mix.
Right.
I respect my players. I respect their play.
Right.
And I honor who they are because I'm honoring this position and I'm honoring the game. These mother brothers here, I don't know.
Oh, hell we go.
That was it.
We nominate Emmitt Smith to be hired by Mike McCarthy as the Cowboys' official let's get our shit together, coach.
How about that?
Right.
How about that?
And with your tequila.
Yeah, they probably need
tell
some
us
of this.
About it. Tell us about it.
Guys, I've been working with Tequila Herradura for the last, for over 13 years now. Started in 2010, and it's been a great partnership. I was with them before the category blew up.
Right.
And now that the category has so many different other brands in it, this brand here still reigns supreme.
Herradura, baby.
I mean, quality. We just talked about the Cowboys and everything else.
Right.
It's about quality.
Yes.
It's not about having so many different things where you lose the quality.
Yeah.
It's about representing the brand.
Right.
And this brand right here, hopefully I haven't let it down, and it's not letting me down.
What?
So.
This is the true syrup right here.
Yeah,
The seal still isn't cracked, though.
The seal's not cracked. It is what it is. Here's the amazing thing.
It's rubbing off on them.
Here's the amazing thing about this. They own 22,000 acres of agave.
Wow.
100% blue agave. 22,000 acres.
That's incredible.
22. Yeah. That's right.
Hopefully they're paying
and
you
they didn't
22, comma, 000, comma, 000. All right.
I'm trying to take control of the brand.
You're trying to get that?
There you go. Who's the guy that's playing today that you look at and you say that reminds me of 22?
There isn't one, really. The closest that I saw that had the running style or the reflection of my running style was Mark Ingram.
Mm, yeah.
He was the closest one.
I hear you. I see that.
Outside of that, I see McCaffey as a guy that he reminds me of a smaller version of a Dickerson.
Yeah, okay.
But not with the high knees like that, but he had beautiful running style.
Right.
And he sees the field quite clearly. Macheco.
I thought you might say Roger Craig almost with McCaffrey, too.
Kind of like Roger Craig. I'm glad that you brought
that up. Hey, I'm here with you, man. I got your back, man.
That's respecting history right now.
He is a football historian. Yes, he is.
I mean, he grew up with
him. I did. Yeah.
So, yes. But
I still remember my dad's retirement game. Emmett, you know, waving to Felipe Sparks behind, and then he waved to me at one point during the game. He was always great to me. Let alone he made me cry when he hurt his shoulder and still won the game.
1993, the regular season finale, taking the one seed.
Ruining my damn dreams. Gosh.
No, man. I mean, that's what you call a ball player.
That's a ball player.
That's a ball player.
You ruin dreams every now and then.
And I have to. Because if I don't ruin somebody else's dream, I'm ruining my own
dream. Right. Yes.
Boy, that's another message the Cowboys need to hear, too, right? Ruin dreams. Go out there and ruin
make your
dreams.
Own dreams. Yeah. How about that?
Well, yeah. Last one before you go, running backs right now. Like, is there anything you look at to where teams are not using the right way? Are you a fan of how much they substitute guys in and out of the game? Now, sometimes I go, how can you ever get in rhythm running the ball if you're in a series and the next series they put the other guy in and they go back and forth?
I couldn't do it.
Right.
I couldn't do it because I needed a commitment. And I think that's the problem. There isn't a commitment. And if there is, there's also a concern of overusage.
Yeah, right.
And so everybody is getting around and taking technology to manage pitch counts for everybody. They're doing it at the collegiate level, and I believe they may be doing it even at the professional level.
Yeah, so, they are.
If you want to talk about head trauma and all these kind of things, maybe that may be the reason why.
Right.
But as a player, I understand what my responsibility is, and I need to be on the football field at all times.
Yeah.
And if I'm that guy, I want to be that guy.
Right.
And I'm not looking to tap out.
Is there something to be said, like, too, about getting in the flow of the game, feeling the way a linebacker, the cutback?
And then the fourth quarter rolls around, and they're tired and you're not.
But think about this, though.
Right.
How often do you see college players, running backs, that is, carry the ball 25 times a game?
I mean, almost never.
And think about this.
Right.
How about high school?
Yeah, you're
even
right.
Less.
Yeah,
because
you're right.
The systems down there are all spread systems.
Right,
now.
Screen here, it's, screen
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah,
short
yeah.
Pass,
it's not even real football.
Right, it's not. I'm with you.
The minute, and I said this to somebody, the minute that somebody come up with smash mouth football all over again,
yeah,
you're going to dominate the running.
Nobody's going to be ready. Nobody's going to be ready to defend it.
Why you going? You got these tall, lanky DNs that want to get to the quarterback,
right,
and don't want to hold that dog on wedge, and might jump around.
Yeah, right. They want the pretty plays. They don't want the messy, tough plays. The 49ers got a little of what you guys are, what you're talking about.
Yes, they
old school Cowboys. They're going to run the ball first.
Right?
So
at the same
time,
they got two DNs that may be jumping around, too.
You're right. You're exactly right. You're
if we had a PFT Live Hall of Fame, this spot would get you in first ballot. This was awesome.
Right.
We love talking Emmitt Smith.
I mean, only if you had actually drank the tequila before you came out. Who knows what would have happened?
We'll be back with more Emmitt Smith. We love you, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was great.
We continue our coverage of all things occurring pre-Super Bowl with a variety of great guests, and it's Texas time now. Horns up, Bijan Robinson. What's the fight song? What's the fight song?
He loves it. Well, I mean, we kind of have two. We have Texas Fight, and then we have the Eyes of Texas that we sing, right?
They are upon you.
They are upon you. All the live long day.
That's right.
So, and we're two out-of-staters, too, right? We're not even
– that's right.
I'm a Jersey guy. He's an Arizona guy, but we ended up in Texas. How did you end up there? Like, what was it down to? Kind of, what was your process of eventually getting there?
Man, it was just a lot of prayer. You know, I knew that, you know, that's where God wanted me to go.
Right.
And you know, the running back coach there at the time was Stan Drayton.
Okay.
And I mean, he was, in my opinion, the top running back coach in the country.
Right.
Not just for like being a running back, but trying to be a great man and
gotcha.
What he could teach you. But you know, I felt that was an amazing place.
Yeah.
Not just like for the college, but for the city.
Yeah, the city's amazing.
Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, I know. We got to get him down there at one point.
It's a lot of amazing cool. time.
Yeah. Right.
A great time.
What was it down to at the end? Texas, what else? What were the other two or three schools?
It was Texas and Ohio State.
It was?
Yeah.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
And the running back coach was the tiebreaker.
That was it right there.
Cool. Yeah, good to hear.
How'd your body feel after first year in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I felt great. You know, I had a little bit of – you know, nicks and bruises, but nothing serious at all.
Right.
It was more just like a lot of soreness. But I mean, I feel like I could have played another 7 weeks.
Well, you didn't get the ball enough.
Yeah.
There it was. But
you have to
get a few of those.
We'll say it. Don't worry.
Yeah, man. But it was definitely a fun season to, like, you know, understand where my body was at and how I got to take care of it from week to week, and just all the advice that I got from a lot of veterans.
Right.
I mean, guys like Christian McCaffrey, like getting to talk to him, you know, midseason and how I can prepare my body, my mind for
give me something
games.
Specific he gave
yeah,
you.
Yeah, let me hear that about McCaffrey.
So, you know, with him, so we have similar practice habits. So we're going to exert all of our energy, like we're going to waste all of our energy in practice and practice as hard as possible. And with him, you know, every morning, you know, he'll get in the cold tub for three minutes and he'll put his whole body in the cold tub. And that's one thing that I despise, like. I love the cold tub, but I would never put my full body in the cold tub.
Just legs.
Yeah, just legs.
Right.
But, you know, that was one of them. You know, even like nutritional values, the IV, you know, getting it, you know, on certain days and not just trying to get it every single day, but get it on different kind of days.
Huh.
And then even just, you know, vitamins, you know, the little wake-up shots. Like,
oh, yeah, five-hour energy, almost kind of thing.
Making sure I'm on those.
Yeah.
But
he's a psycho.
Oh yeah, he takes it very serious.
Right.
And for me, like, I'm trying to do the same thing and obviously trying to follow like that trajectory that he's on as well. So, you know, even learning from that was definitely really key for the process.
That's the right attitude. I mean, if I'm a Falcons fan, that's good news.
Yeah.
We got a guy who's a great talent who is yearning to learn what's necessary to become as great as the great ones in the NFL.
That's one thing
to be great in college.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of work, creativity, smarts, effort, and will to be great in the NFL. And it seems to be you're ready to do what you need to do.
Yeah, man. And for me, like, just having that process and having a lot of different guys always checking up on me, making sure I'm doing the right things.
Yeah.
It's always helped out a lot. And even my position coach, you know, Coach Petrie, you know, he's always on, you know, on me about, you know, making sure I'm good mentally. Making sure I kind of get away from the game sometimes and not being so, like, you know, stuck in it.
Right.
Because I don't think it's a healthy thing to always be just stuck on football all the time.
Yeah, you got to have a little life balance.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So
no doubt.
It's definitely awesome. It's definitely cool to have him, you know, on my side and help me out a lot.
What about training-wise, like off of McCaffrey or anything? Because he's, like, cutting edge with all that stuff too, right?
Yeah, so,
like, did you get into that conversation as well?
So the off-season training, we didn't really get into that much. It was more of, like, the in-season stuff and how to do everything in-season.
Right.
But – I mean, that dude is
you're going to call him soon and maybe be like, hey, give me some off-season stuff.
I might even just train with him.
Right. You should.
Yeah, I mean, that dude's he's a machine. He's a guy that really prides himself in his work ethic.
Right.
And I'm the same way. So definitely going to be around that and be around, you know, types of guys like that.
Yeah. What is – give us your, you know, your rookie year assessment of just the NFL, right?
Yeah.
What was it like for you, right? What was maybe like – the most shocking thing about NFL life for you in your first season when you were going through it?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it was definitely an awesome year, especially of learning and, you know, learning to handle the adversities, the highs, and not getting into to either of them too much, right. but staying kind of in the middle and learning how to handle the, you know, certain type of things. But yeah. you know, I think it was great for, you know, me individually, and obviously as a team, like we fell a little short.
Right.
But I'm so confident in this team and what we can do and all the young talent on the team that we have, especially with the new coach that we just got. I know he's going to formulate that, you know, very well. But I'm really excited for what's to come, not just for me, but for this whole team.
Right. For you, what's the hardest part of the fact that the quarterback kept changing right. and changing and yeah. changing? Is the running back, you're the same.
Yeah.
How much different is it when you go from one guy to the other?
It's definitely different. You got to get used to the timing of both quarterbacks, and it's kind of hard when, you know, they're switching out
back and forth
from week to week.
Right.
So that was definitely one thing that was definitely hard. Sometimes, obviously, I love both of them. I love Taylor. I love Desmond. But it was a different deal that I never
different cadence,
different yeah. cadence,
different in the huddle.
How you hear it?
Different, right? Different yep. way they come out of center and hand the yeah, ball off to that, you.
That's right.
Right.
And sometimes it was like mid game.
Right.
Right.
And it was like, man, like, you know, obviously we wanted to be more consistent at that, but you know, for me, it was that was a part of the learning lesson on how to get used to different things, get used to different calls. I mean, yes, you want one quarterback at the helm. But for me being a young guy, like I had to, you know, get smarter, learn a lot of different things in the pass protection and you know try to get you know more intelligent in that area.
Did you ever pick up on the anxiety that the guy who was playing might be feeling because if I make a mistake, yeah. I'm going to get yanked? Can you yeah. sense that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean a little bit. I feel like that's a normal thing though. When you're in that situation,
when you know that if you make a mistake, you really might get yanked. Right. You're going to worry about
yeah,
it.
That's right. So that's why for me being a young guy, it was definitely beneficial for me to, you know, be a guy of encouragement and, you know, never let the quarterbacks get rattled or never let them get in their own head or distracted from, you know, the task at hand and trying to win that game. Because even Desmond, like, Desmond's another young guy too.
Right.
And he got put in a situation to be the starting quarterback. And, you know, he had to take it and run with it. But there's a lot of different – it's hard to be a quarterback
not
in the
easy.
NFL.
Yeah. Learning on and, the fly, you know, it ain't easy.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And for him, you know, it was something that he had to really hone in and get used to. But that's why I was kind of there, you know, try to be on the side to calm him down and to get his mind and his thoughts together.
Right. All right. We're going to make you – I want to hear your pitch for Marriott in a second. We're going to see yeah. how damn good you are. I know you can break ankles and run for touchdowns. I'm not sure about your salesman ability.
Okay. All right.
But I do want to – I always love that – we love to ask guys, like, you know, what was your wow moment in the NFL? Like, and, like, what was the guy – who's the guy in first year? Nobody on your team, none yeah. of the cop out stuff, right? Yeah. But you were just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this guy's this big or that good.
Yeah,
you
know? So I'll say the one guy that I played against
right.
that was a very very talented was Derrick Brown.
Yeah,
Derrick Brown. Yeah.
He D-tackle I feel he's Carolina.
He's the guy in the NFL that's big, that's fast,
right.
that's athletic,
right.
that you know makes his name known when he's on the field.
And he's a beast.
You know, you kind of see him on tape, and you're like, yeah, this dude is obviously standing out ahead of everybody else. But when you play him, it's like this dude is right here in front of you every single time.
Right. You were just shocked at how much yeah. he was in the back play. Yeah. We call it, you know, f-ing the play up. Right?
That's literally
Thank you,
it.
Thank
that's
you.
Literally right? it.
Sorry, Birmingham.
But yeah, man. I mean, he was definitely the guy that I have so much respect for, and that I was like, man, this dude is a dominant force in the NFL.
Who hit you the hardest this year?
Yeah.
Him? He got you.
He got
swallowed
me.
Swallowed you up.
Yeah, it was
at the line, right? Boom, trying to hit the hole.
Yeah, I was making a move. I was trying to make a move to because I usually like set the D lineman up and then just kind of kill him off the move. But this one time, he just came and I tried to do it. And he just kind of just got me. I was like, all
right,
this
right.
was
right. That yeah, was he's athletic for 315 or 320.
Yes, he is. I was like, man, this dude is big, but he was the one.
Did what about all like the NFL? Like, I know one thing, you know, I don't know. You think like so many ballers are in the league. It always caught me by surprise. Like, man, there's a lot of people in the, this is football all day long. Like, yeah. right. No school. And,
yeah.
you know, it's just football. And these guys are serious and professional. Like, you saw Calais Campbell every day and you're like, he wants to win. It's important.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Was there anything that kind of surprised you along those lines in the NFL just as a whole?
Yeah. I mean, even what you just said, like Calais and just his day to day routine.
Right.
Was, I was like, man, this is crazy.
Right? It's crazy to see grown men on a mission like that, right? Oh, you're like, damn, they're serious. I better get my stuff together.
No, seriously. But I think the cool thing is, like, they really want to help me out. And just having a guy like Calais and, you know, Grady Jarrett, like, all these vets on the team. I mean, Jake Matthews.
Sure.
You know, they sat down with me and given me so much advice on, you know, how to be a great player, not just to be a great player in the league, but mentally be where I need to be and just kind of be where my feet are and not, you know, jump quick to, like, the future or anything like that.
Right.
But, I mean, Calais is the oldest
Defensive player in the league. I think he might be the oldest. You're right.
So having him and having the knowledge of what he did when he was younger was definitely a blessing to have that dude there.
All right, it's time to show what you can do.
Let's
we know
it.
What you can do with a helmet on.
Yeah.
Now it's time. Make your pitch.
Yeah.
Courtyard by Marriott. You're here today on their behalf. Go.
Yeah, so with Courtyard by Marriott, so, okay, look. So they literally turned the NFL suite into a hotel room. And it was for, you know, the fans, you know, Jametta and Chance.
Wow.
They're NFL fans, but they're huge Falcons fans.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's cool that what Courtyard's doing and, you know, the passion for the fans and the passion for the NFL, you know, they really pride on that. And they really make sure that you have the best experience that you could have. But last week when I went, you know, to the stadium to surprise them, it was like one of the most like awesome experiences ever.
So they got a suite in the dome
suite.
There.
They have a suite looking at the field,
but at the Super Bowl.
It's Courtyard Marriott
suite. Courtyard by Marriott suite.
Right.
So like,
you kind of feel like you're in the room.
Imagine waking up and you get to slide out.
Wow.
And you have the
that is kind of cool. So they get to sleep there. That was my next question. I was like, are they just putting it there to have it there? And people actually, that's amazing.
That's good. That's good.
You don't have to worry about anything, drinking and driving, anything. You're just good.
Not a thing.
Right?
One more for you. I know we got to let you go, but when the Falcons are looking for a coach, how much attention were you paying to and who were you talking to? Like, because you might have Bill Belichick at one point. What a difference.
That's right.
Bill Belichick and anybody else.
That's right.
How were you monitoring and were people giving you information?
I was kind of just like seeing how everybody else was seeing it, like on social media.
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew that there was a lot of talk about Bill Belichick and, you know, I would be perfectly okay with that. Like, you know, obviously he's the greatest coach that the NFL has ever seen. And, you know, I know that his methods are a little different than a lot of other coaches, but, you know, for me, I think that we picked the right coach for this team.
Raheem's awesome.
Raheem is the best
ever. Yep.
Yeah.
We love Raheem.
And just even how he can impact the young guys on the team. And obviously, you know, the older vets, they love him. I think he was the right choice, and he was definitely what we needed just for the culture change.
Oh, the city, the flavor, it's perfect.
It's all him.
It's perfect.
They're telling me we got to let you go. You got other work to do than talk to a couple of knuckleheads like us. Bijan Robinson, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Horns up.
Yeah.
Horns up.
Yeah.
I'll say horns down once you
know. No.
Bijan Robinson will be right back.
He's a punk.
Well, we have saved the best guest of the week.
Look at what the garbage man
brought last.
In.
My God. The number one fan of BFT Live and Chris Sims Unbuttoned, it is Aunt Wendy.
Aunt Wendy
Say
is
hello,
here.
Everybody, to Aunt Wendy.
Hello,
there she is.
Everyone out there in America and around the world.
And the UK, right? And Sky Sports.
And to our friends in Sky Sports.
Well done.
Man,
well
Wendy
done.
Is so happy to be here. I can't even tell you. It's very nice of you, Mike, to let her up here.
We have both made our picks for the Super Bowl. We both have the Chiefs winning, Chris 23-20 and me 30-20. So, Aunt Wendy, are you with us or are you against us?
I am going with the San Francisco 49ers for the win, and the score is going to be 28-21.
Oh, that's what we would like. We would like that. I'm rooting for that right there. I know that.
Chris is doing the emotional hedge, Aunt Wendy. He's picking the Chiefs, but he's rooting for the 49ers because he wants his buddy to win.
Yeah,
I know, but that's tough. You got to be on one side or the other.
I know, but we're rooting for our buddy. That's for sure. We'll see how it goes. I hope everybody enjoyed the week. Mike, you're the man.
It was great, man. It was great. We had a great week. Thanks to all of you. Another one is in the can. Enjoy the Super Bowl
Super
in two
Bowl.
Days. And we'll be here
we'll see you
somewhere
Monday.
On Monday talking about it.
Have a great
weekend. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot.